interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, June 27 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Cleared for takeoff. Thank you, Astros, on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, live at the Tap Room River Ranch, the famous Clint D in tow, keeping me in line. And he has said, it is time to roll. And so we shall. Here's our game plan. Got about a 3.5-minute intro for the show today. Some baseball going right, some baseball going poorly. And I think you know which is which. The Astros lose 10-0. And that's two straight L's, giving up 10 and then 14 runs. Yikes. Framber Valdez last night, 3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs. Brad Peacock today, this might sound familiar, 3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs. And so the Stros have lost 2 straight. They've lost 8 of their last 10. And no, it's not time to jump off of any bridge between here and Houston. But there is some other news that's not sterling. Yordan Alvarez, if you were listening to Sparks and Ford, Alvarez was taken out of the ball game following the contest moments ago. And I'm going to give credit here to our good buddy Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle. Yordan Alvarez taken out as precaution. A.J. Hinch, just moments ago, said he'll probably give him, quote-unquote, a day or two off. So certainly not going well for the Astros. They did, however, take the opening game of this set with Pittsburgh, and they rode the arm of Garrett Cole to that lone win in this series in the Lone Star State. But the Astros have a lot to get right with a couple weeks left until the All-Star break. Now, baseball going right, at least depending on your perspective. If you root for the SEC, Vanderbilt last night stormed back 2 straight W's to end the College World Series and the college baseball season. They beat Michigan 8-2, second ever title in program history. Mason Hickman, Jake Eater combined for 14 Ks for Tim Corbin's Commodores last night. And I want this to sink in as we lead off the show today. We'll talk more about what Vandy has accomplished, but even more so, what they're in the midst of accomplishing. Vanderbilt's baseball program has been to 4 College World Series appearances ever, all of them since 2011. And now twice, 2014, 2019, the doors, well, they've knocked down the door in Omaha and won the College World Series. So what I will suggest to you is that they're getting close to what Ray Tanner's South Carolina teams accomplished at the beginning of this decade. And they're not on the doorstep. In fact, they're probably not even too many steps up the driveway, the walkway, right, of what Skip Bertman's LSU teams did in the 90s and into the early aught decade. So again, we tell you in the show all the time, there are levels to things. But I'll tell you that they're getting close to that same rung on the ladder level of success that South Carolina had in the heyday of the Gamecocks. They're getting pretty close to, well, if they haven't surpassed, what Florida has done under their recent success and the head coach that they've got there. But they haven't even really come all that close to approaching what Bertman and company put on the board. But last night was another pretty hellacious step in the right direction. And I've got some more details I'll share. Pretty historic season for Vandy, and that's part of what got me thinking. Where does it rank in terms of recent SEC success? Well, there's still going to be LSU under Bertman and then everybody else. But they're starting to creep up the ladder from there. And how's that for a little cutesy opening segment? Always fun to come in after the Astros. Never know how many guests I should schedule. Never know how early I can schedule them. What I can tell you is Glenn Gilbo will be with us at 5:30. The LSU Board of Supervisors has a new agenda for tomorrow's meeting, and they're going to vote on a lot of contracts that you will find interesting. Glenn Gilbo discussing that at 5:30, and Blaine Viator at 6, all in on high school football. So come back with us. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Back in, Astros came to a completion about 30 minutes ago, and that means, well, we're ready to ride with you. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game, hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch. For those that have just joined us, phone lines open really for the next hour. We've got Glenn Gilbo coming aboard at 5:30, and we'll talk LSU Board of Supervisors, the latest there. I'll give you the drop on it before G-Squared joins us at 6 o'clock. Blaine Viator, he'll be here in person at the Tap Room River Ranch. A lot of high school football talk from 6 until 6:30. But you want to get involved with the show between now and then? We advise that. In fact, we're going to give you the number. It's just the kind of guys we are. 706-0111. And let's get to that news about the LSU Board of Supervisors. Again, this is the business of sports. Not always sexy or fun, but I do think it's important. And some of the numbers may surprise you today. How do I know that? Well, the show started about a half hour late, so I had a chance to kick it with some of the patrons here at the Tap Room. They were surprised, for example, with how much LSU's offensive coordinator is making, how much Tommy Moffitt is making. Well, why don't I just get into it and tell you? The LSU Board of Supervisors has a new agenda and will vote on contracts for 8 athletic staffers tomorrow, Friday, June the 28th. Here are the ones that are probably the most pertinent to you. Offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger, offensive line coach James Craig are both in line for extensions, although both will remain where they're at salary-wise. Ensminger will stick around at $800,000 a year, while James Craig, formerly of the then San Diego Chargers and the Denver Broncos, is going to remain at $475,000 a season. Two other football staffers are due for a raise, and it starts with strength and conditioning coordinator Tommy Moffitt. He'll now average, if this vote is ratified, and almost typically it is every time, Moffitt will be averaging about $530,000 a year. While special teams coordinator Greg McMahon will be at 425 large a season on average. I know, a lot of numbers. I don't want to make your head hurt. But the consensus, you know, from all of us here at the Tap Room, a lot of offensive coordinators at major programs, especially in the SEC, are making more than that. But when you consider the 800 from Ensminger, the 2.5, for Dave Aranda, defensive coordinator, I guess you could say that it balances out. As for the special teams coordinator, how much of a difference does that cat make? Well, you could watch what they're doing. They've got Avery Atkins, who can now boom it into the end zone. They had one of the most successful runs for a transfer kicker, maybe in program history, a season ago. And now with Cade York coming aboard as a freshman, they feel that the feet of their program is in good hands, if you will. Now let's see what happens when you start putting guys like Derek Stingley Jr. back there to return some of these punts. Well, they might really have some dynamos all over for LSU special teams, but that's a fairly large number in my opinion. And I know Greg McMahon had a history with the Saints, had some NFL experience, but they're going to be paying him a high salary. So there are 4 LSU football contracts that will be voted on tomorrow at the BOS meeting. But the one that's most interesting, and Clint's fond of telling you, used to say this all the time on the show, I guess we backed off of it, it's the show that gets results. Sure, we pirated that from Tommy Mansky. Fred McGriff puts on the ball cap. You've seen it, right? The crime dog clearly walked right out of a limo, took a cap, didn't bend the bill, and he just spat off his lines. Tommy Mansky, this is the video that gets results. Well, this is a show that continues to get results. How do we know that? Yesterday, we talked with Virg Ausberry. Today, it's announced that the new Board of Supervisors agenda has within it a huge raise for Virg Ausberry and an elevation in title. Let me describe for you. Currently, Virg, you know, the way that I introduced him all of about 20 hours ago, 22 hours ago, he was the Deputy Director of Athletics for LSU. This proposal would make him the Executive Deputy AD and the Executive Director of External Relations. But how about the money when you add on the titles? Going from an average of 230 large per year to 511,000 per year. So recall yesterday's show, and we're going to let you hear a little more later in today's program. Some of the Q&A replay, the choice cuts from Virg Ausberry, a New Iberia native. I said on yesterday's show, many people thought he might take a walk after he wasn't elevated to AD. Quite the contrary. His good friend Scott Woodward is here. He's happy to be working here, and now they're going to make it worth his while. I mean in a big way. Smart move, in my opinion, by LSU and by Woodward. And oh, by the way, if that role sounds familiar, it should. That last one, Executive Director of External Relations, almost verbatim, that's the title that Woodward had the last time he was at LSU, 2000 through 2004, as he served at the behest of Dr. Mark Emmert, now the NC2A president. And so if you think they're just getting the band back together, well, you're right. And they're using it to keep people around that have been very useful, that are very connected in what is an overtly political state, even when we're talking sports. We know politics is involved. But this is pretty cool stuff. And again, are we kingmakers? We are certainly not. However, are we people that can bring the thunder and be rain men? Clearly, yes. Virg is on this show one day, boom, next day. How about that? Major pay raise and an elevation in title. My opinion, the man deserves it. I'm happy for him. All right, one more. Out of those eight contracts that will be voted on tomorrow, one more of note. LSU basketball assistant coach Bill Armstrong in line for a two-year extension and a $75,000 a year raise. He'll be up to $325,000 a year on average. I promise I will not make your head hurt. No more numbers for the rest of B2BS. But that's some interesting, I guess, in terms of extension, in terms of raises, those are interesting ways to look at how LSU is conducting its business. And they never do it behind the scenes. With things like this, it has to be out in the open. All right, when we return, I'll take you from dollars and cents to something that just makes good sense. The Raging Cajuns announced what is a concessions paradise earlier today. How cheap can you get a beer at Cajun Field starting in September? I will tell you on the other side, these numbers will probably blow your mind a little bit. How do I know that? Well, because they did for me. So don't go anywhere. Plenty more Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you live every Thursday from the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports
on 103.7 The Game.
Counting right back in. 3, 2, and 1. It's time for Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. I always have fun here, but now there's about 22 more inches of fun for your viewing pleasure. Of course, I'll explain. They have enhanced what were a pair of 54-inch HD screens behind the bar. As of this week, they're now 65-inch TVs. They're getting ready for football season. Yes, at Acadiana Sports Station, we can relate. And we're not the only ones. Raging Cajuns football, they know that football season's around the corner. They know there's some excitement that needs to continue to be drummed up for year two of the Billy Napier era. And I think today they did a pretty darn good job of providing some of that. Let me explain. I call it Cajuns Concession Paradise. And for as much in-game experience as yours truly has been talking lately, it was the sole theme of my weekly reboot podcast from earlier this week. This is one heck of a way to ramp up the in-game experience. Starting with the Liberty game the week after Labor Day at Cajun Field. And I know it's going to begin, I believe, with volleyball and football, and then it'll spread quickly into some of the winter and spring sports at UL. You'll be able to plop down a dollar, a single dollar, and get a hot dog, or popcorn, or potato chips. Seriously, $1. And it's not like they just lowered it there and then they kind of leave you in lurch elsewhere. Hamburger slash cheeseburger, $3. All right, I'm still pretty excited. Here's the part, however, where I ramp it up. CD knows this. I don't like to say that I ever get more than 100%. You know, because physically you can and it's stupid. And saying that something is more than 10 out of 10 is pretty dumb. Even Billy Bob from Varsity Blues knows. I give it a 10. I give this an 11. And I hate to ever do that and be this guy. But starting this football season at Cajun Field, you're going to be able to score a 16-ounce domestic can for $2. This is not a drill. Nor is it an exaggeration. $2 for a 16-ounce domestic can. And so for yours truly, the Michelob Ultra will be flowing like the salmon of Capistrano. Are you kidding me? $2 for a 16-ounce domestic can. Does not stop there. $4 for a 16-ounce craft beer can. $4 for a 16-ounce domestic draft. This, to me, is one of the best deals I've ever heard. And I am no mouthpiece for the university, their athletic department, their football program. I know value when I see it. I tell you about value all the time in this program when it comes to coaches and players. And so if I were rating this, this is a five-star move right here. It's a five-star prospect. The prospects of going into Cajun Field and slamming a 16-ounce domestic can for $2. So, yeah, for a guy that's been doing that the last couple of years, last 2 years, I've had season tickets to those games, already re-upped this year. I'm excited about that. I'm sure you are as well. Call us. Tell us about it. We got some time today. Our next scheduled guest, our first scheduled guest, about 40 minutes from now, Glenn Gilbo with the Daily Advertiser will be with us. Between now and then, call us. Let us know how excited you are about $2 domestic cans of beer, and not those little 12-ouncers. No, not some little pony beer. 16 ounces, brother. Call us. Let us know. 706-0111. CD, I'll get your impression. I know you've got a blog post that goes more into detail on this, 1037thegame.com. I see no drawbacks in this move.
Oh, no. This is probably one of the smartest things I've seen from the guys who kind of run this thing with Louisiana Athletics and doing it all throughout the calendar year. This isn't just for football. This is all athletics, which I think is just absolutely great in the menu. I got hungry just looking at it whenever I was putting together the blog post. I was like, man, I'm in the media, so I don't necessarily get to dig into all the vendor food, but trust me, I would love to get in on that at least once this year.
It's funny to me because, you know, look, I've made no secret about this. People who listen to the show understand I grew up in Baton Rouge. I grew up for about two straight years, if memory serves, about two straight years. I was a Boy Scout that helped serve as an usher in Tiger Stadium at LSU games. While Jerry DiNardo was bringing back the magic, I was helping drunk people find their seats. And these people were drunk coming into the game. You go to Tiger Stadium today, fast forward like, 24 years from when I was out there doing that, same thing. They come into the game. And they're already pretty geezied up. If they continue their role inside the game, it's because they brought their hooch in. unless they did the shoot. My feelings on that are well known on the program. Cute idea, but I don't like going to basically a sectioned-off bar inside of a stadium or arena where you can't watch the action in person. What's the point? So it's funny to me that for the last few years, me being able to tell friends and family that have never been to Cajun Field, never been to a UL game, describing the experience, they're like, you serious? And almost as if, are you sure that's legal? You're going to get popped, Ben, if you keep buying beers inside the stadium. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's legal tender. They keep doing it. They give me a wristband, and, you know, it's on from there. Don't have to go back out to the parking lot. Don't have to try and sneak in the hooch. And so that's been a longstanding thing at Cajun Field. But this is good above and beyond just some of the, I guess you'd call it like the anti-sticker shock. Above and beyond that, the reason it's smart is for the same rationale of the plea that Ruffin Rodgery gives probably about once a week on this program. When Ruffin keeps saying, I'm going to pull people by the shirt collar and the neck into Cajun Field this year. And he means doing it from the parking lot, by the way, not from their porch or their garage or their living room. Ruffin knows because he's been going to games in Lafayette for generations. But he knows that the current generation got a lot of well-to-do men and women and families that are out there partying up in the parking lot, having a good time. He said the trouble is getting some of them to come in the stadium. And that's, to me, the beauty, and I'm sure, was the thought process behind this move. What will get people to come and stay? $2 beers is a hell of a start, is what I'm going to suggest to you. And so, yes, this is a way to get more of those people inside the games. And, look, that's the in-game experience. For a couple of years now, I've been enjoying what goes on at Russo Park when you can go and, you know, kind of enjoy that fan fest atmosphere, and they're selling beers and they're selling margs and food kind of in the underbellies of Teague Moore Field at Russo Park. And then, oh, by the way, on all the TVs in that same underbelly, there are games on ABC, NBC, CBS, Mothership. They're also putting games on the scoreboard and the Jumbotron out in center field, kind of left center field. It's a beautiful thing. So all of this maybe ties into some of the conversations we had yesterday. Moving up into a bigger conference, all right, I guess in time that'll come. More important, improve what you got. Boots on the ground to improve your product. And yes, winning will attract everyone and bring everything. But improving the all-around experience, yep, that goes hand in hand. TV contracts, expanding your brand, stuff like Cox Sports Television, yep, that's going to do it as well. So I'm calling it Cajun's Concession Paradise. Pretty cool stuff, and it's coming to all sports, as Clint mentioned, but it begins with football, and I do believe I read volleyball beginning in September. And on that note, funny what happens when you're booking guests all day long for future shows. I just got the text back during this segment. Dr. Brian Maggard has confirmed he'll be with us tomorrow live from Rufino's on the River. And so tomorrow we'll be there 4 until, I believe, 6:35 when Astro launch begins. Dr. Maggard will be with us at straight up 4 o'clock. So tomorrow, Cajun fans especially, come on out. Shake his hand if you get a chance. But make sure that you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station tomorrow. Straight up 4 o'clock, Cajun's AD, Dr. Brian Maggard, will be with us at Rufino's on the River. There you go. We got our guest list for today. We got one heck of a start for tomorrow, so make sure you stick around. Glenn Gilbo will be here at 5:30, about 35 minutes from now, and Blaine Viator at straight up 6 o'clock. That's our Thursday lineup, and as I just mentioned, tomorrow, Dr. Brian Maggard in person at Rufino's on the River at straight up 4 o'clock. All right, CD, let's wind down an abbreviated first hour with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Equal, as in equal opportunity offenders, the Houston Astros, during this skid And yeah, it started going on the road to Cincy. Continued at the Bronx for a four-game set against the Yanks, and now they've lost two or three at home to the Pirates. And why I say equal opportunity offenders, everybody wanted to point at the offense. They're not hitting consistently. They're not scoring enough runs to win. 24 runs conceded over the last 2 days shows that the problems are not isolated at the plate for A.J. Hinch and company. Now, don't get me wrong. They're 50-32 at 18 games above sea level. They're doing fine. They're first in the AL West, but as they try to put their foot back on the accelerator going toward the All-Star break, they got to get it right on several different fronts. They have to distribute the improvement equally. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Congrats.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Hanging out, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. For the next 2 hours, the famous Clint D, he's with us. Yeah, he's got all kinds of goods to contribute from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. So many goods Clint has, in fact, that we're going to let, I guess, that cat out of the bag now. Our interview yesterday with Virge Osbury, pretty special. And again, if you just got in the vehicle, just joined us for the 5 o'clock hour, some of your news of the day, the LSU Board of Supervisors has a new agenda for tomorrow's meeting, and we'll vote on contracts for 8 athletics staffers. We'll discuss them in full detail, especially the football guys, with our guest Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser in about 30 minutes. But one of the guys on tap for not only a huge pay raise, but also an elevation in title is Virge Osbury. So, yeah, the show that gets results, and it'll get you a raise. Good reason why you should come on the show when you get a chance. And if you want to in this segment, we got some time. 706-0111. But in honor of Virge getting, you know, all those good things, and because it was a darn good interview, let's bring back some of his best from yesterday. First off, it's now been almost exactly 10 weeks since Scott Woodward was named the AD at LSU. Really big coup that the Tigers pulled in getting him over from College Station and Texas A&M. I asked Virge, well, what's it been like? 10 weeks in, here's what he had to say.
We've hit it running. Met with a lot of people, a lot of donors, a lot of corporate sponsors, meeting with all the coaches, student athletes. In the first 2 weeks of the job, it was very, very difficult to get everything done at once. We also making a lot of meetings. He's making some trips out of state, other commitments he had had before he came to LSU. So that's pretty much what we've been doing lately. And, this is kind of a slow time the next couple of weeks for us. And once we get back, we'll be full go again. Primarily just meeting with all the our stakeholders around the state.
The other major item that continues to be toward the top of Scott Woodward's mind, apparently, is recruiting. How do we know that? Well, Coach O said it himself. Earlier this week, during a stop at the LSU coaches' caravan in Metairie, it's funny. I mean, Ogeron said not only is Scott Woodward a huge proponent of what we're doing, how we're recruiting, he knows the kids that we're recruiting because he keeps up with it all the time. And that's led me to suggest, and there's not a doubt in my mind, that Scott Woodward probably loves him some Shea Dixon, kind of like Acadiana does every Tuesday on B2BS. But toward that end, I asked Virge Osbury, currently the deputy director of athletics from LSU, but again, he'll be adding a new title soon. I asked Verge, just how much does this guy know about recruiting, and where does that passion come from?
You know, Scott's very much involved with football and the recruiting process, part of it. And it's so funny. You know, we're good friends. I always laugh, and it's like, let's go to football. I'm like, you know, Scott, I've done that. I would have. I set those leads. I've been on that hot field. I'm not really, you know, I'm kind of allergic to that now. I'll go with you, but, you know, I've done my tour duties. But yeah, he is. He's very much aware of what's going on in all of our sports teams. It's not football. He likes especially the recruiting part of it. He likes, this is about the student athletes and what's good for the student athletes and the kids and educating them. And when they come here, that we give them the best, ignoring the young men and women that we recruit here at LSU. And I think that's the positive side of where we want to be as athletic department.
We'll get more from Verge Allsbury. And, you know, look, from what Woodward has been doing, we'll kind of slowly drift into what that entire athletic department, especially the football side, will be doing. We know, however, that a few weeks back, SEC spring meetings has a bearing on all of it, right? And the big agenda was alcohol sales. Here, Verge Allsbury tells you that, yeah, by and large, he, Woodward, LSU, they were pleased with the outcomes of those proceedings in Destin.
Yes, we were. You know, it wasn't much on the agenda this time. It was a short agenda. But, you know, we got something accomplished that we've been working on for a long time. And that's trying to get alcohol in the Tiger Stadium and serve to the general public. And that's something that we've been working on and finally got passed. And, you know, it was a long process. It's a tough process. And we got what we wanted. You know, everybody has the option to do what they want. And we're still looking into, you know, how that process is going to work for us. And do we incorporate it this year or the whole off a year incorporated next year? Because when we incorporated, we wanted to be Ben the best. We don't want to half it and, you know, come in and short and be disappointing to our fans and what we need to do.
Clearly, and I heard it yesterday, don't get me wrong, but it really slapped me across the face today. Clearly, Verge didn't want to say half-ass. I can say it for him. Don't ever half-ass alcohol sales. You can't do it. You got to do it right. After all, we said this in the 4 o'clock hour. The Cajuns announced today that they're going to have 16-ounce domestic cans for $2 inside Cajun Field. Hey, no half-ass there. I like that. And so I have no doubt that LSU will get the alcohol part right. If there is one thing you can take to the bank in the SEC, the state of Louisiana will find a way to do the alcohol thing, you know, the way that they need to. After all, this was, if I'm not mistaken, the last state in the union to abolish 18-year-olds being able to purchase alcohol. In fact, if I'm also not mistaken, and I don't think that I am, we, as Louisianans, I mean, just of our own volition, decided to do that while foregoing $10 million a year of federal funding to make sure we can keep selling to that age range of 18 to 20-year-olds. And so, you know, all of those people that were out there crushing alcohol legally in the early 90s in college, then, yeah, I think they're nodding their head. Ben, it was worth it. But if you drive on our roads basically anywhere, then maybe it's not quite as worth it to you. All right, CD, you've got a call that's come in from our good friend Craig D from the B. He doesn't want to be on the air, but what does he want?
You know, you were talking about at the beginning of the hour, you were talking about some of these coaches that are going to be in line for raises, and he brought up an interesting point talking about Corey Raymond. He feels like he should be next in line for a raise considering the fact that he could have wound up going to Georgia but decided to stay at LSU.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that already happened, right? And so this
okay.
You know, these aren't annual meetings for the Board of Supervisors. Craig, I'm almost positive about this. I'm almost positive that Corey's got what's coming to him, right? I think they had this one maybe 5 or 6 months ago, maybe even a little less than that, right? But I remember exactly when you do, the dalliance with Georgia. And so now Corey's back, and I think he's already gotten what's coming to him. So this is taking care of business at a different time of year and some things that have come up a little more recently, but I do think that's already been addressed. All right, we have a couple more clips from Verge Allsbury. Again, New Iberia's Finest was with us yesterday. I want to run some of that back for you today. I asked him, when is kind of your hot zone, time of year, when it comes to scheduling? When do you really have communication to get things done? He was quick to say, Ben, it's year-round.
It's all time. It's all year. It's all year. It's during the season, a lot of times, the best time to do it. But we're always talking to people. We're talking to people right now, working on contracts, finishing up contracts, dates of games and times you want games to start and moving games around to fit something in. So it never stops. It's just when the time comes, when the other program, you, and if you're getting help from ESPN or CBS or anybody else on scheduling the games, Dave Brown does Gridiron, who does most of our help us with our scheduling, working with those groups to make sure that you know, it fits our scheduling, what fits our scheduling, how our team going to look, those type of things. So it's a year-round process. It's not, you know, pick up the phone one day and call somebody, but it's a year-round process. It's built on relationships, relationships we have with ADs at other schools and people that we've talked to and people that want to come to Baton Rouge or have a Lucasite game, or we want to go up there a bit greater for our fans to go. And those are things when we do these things, like, you know, University of Texas is going to Austin. That's big for our fan base to go there. There'll be some neutral site games. And then you have the Clemson series, okay? A home and home, you know, we hadn't played there. You know, the two Death Valleys, you know, very similar in our names and everything we do. That's exciting for our fans. And you have Oklahoma, you have Arizona State. So we have a lot of interesting home and home games there and people we have great relationships with, and just to get these football games kicked off.
So many of those games that he just referenced are so far down the line. Now, others aren't, right? And I know that the Oklahoma one in particular gets a lot of people kind of giggling in much the same way that Arizona State's return trip to Baton Rouge after 2006 got people giggling, just kept getting, you know, kicked down the road like a can. But there are some that are coming pretty soon here. And so interesting that you've always got to manage that if you're Verge Osbury. I have one more from Verge. This one gets into this year's team a little bit. And the newest addition on the coaching staff is passing game coordinator Joe Brady. I asked Verge, what are your impressions of this guy? He's got everybody else fired up. What about you?
You know, I always say Joe's a great, smart, young coach. And I think he'll bring a lot of help to the offensive side of the ball, to Steve. I think he and Steve make a great team. But, you know, it's about the players on the field also. You got to put them in positions, and that's the coaches do, but the players have to make plays. And I think we have I look at this football team. You have a very, very good football team coming back. A lot of young players. Look at the freshman class last night at a function. You know, how well these young men carry themselves off the field, how well they look, their physique, they're in shape. And I think a lot of those guys can contribute this year. So, Joe Brady is an all-star in the making as a coach, a smart, very aggressive young man, know the offensive scheme. But believe me, Ben, there's all these other SEC schools you play in. They have young, smart coaches also.
He is absolutely right there. It is a meat market, not just for the players, but for the coaches. You doubt that? Again, think about something I mentioned in the 4 o'clock hour. Dave Aranda makes $2.5 million a year. Not sure that he even classifies as a smart young coach anymore. He's still a young person, relatively speaking, but he's been around in NC2A circles long enough to where I think it's understood that this guy is established. Joe Brady might be that guy in 2 or 3 years, at least Ed Orgeron is hoping so. All right, we've got to take our first break of the 5 o'clock hour. When we return, time to throw a little shade. I know it comes a little bit early in the 5 p.m. hour, but that's because we've got Glenn Gilbo in 15 minutes. He'll come your way at 5:30. So don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back for break. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Hanging out. Pretty good crowd so far at the Tap Room River Ranch. Plenty of time for you to come out and join us. I told you, they've already enhanced a couple of the TVs behind the bar. Yeah, just in the last week, from 54 to 65 inches. As the manager, David, said, 22 more inches for your viewing pleasure this football season. They've also introduced a new line of summer cocktails, the Cajun Caipirinha. Didn't say it right, don't care. Katie's Cantaloupe Martini is here. Rum, Dumb, and Broke. Okay, I like that one a lot. Strawberry Basil Smash, the Southside Spritz, and the Summer Equals Gin. Fair enough. They're all delicious. How do I know that? They let me sip a couple of them every time I come. That's why the show's so good. Before I start, yeah, I nip into that a little bit. Just kidding, maybe. But they've also got live music tonight. Jacob Hebert from 8 until 11. And don't forget, Jones and Hollers on Saturday night, same time, 8 until 11. It's part of the Saturday Summer Music Series. CD, before we throw some shade, it's pretty funny. And it's also a little scary. You'll recall, I said this at the top of the hour, and I think even, you know, in the 4 o'clock hour, abbreviated though it was, I said, we just must be rainmakers, right? As opposed to rain, you know, Rain Man. We're rainmakers. I said, we have Virg Osborne, and one day, the next day, he gets a raise and an elevation. This came within the last hour and a half. Errol Rodgers Jr. at LCA, a wide receiver at the next level, commits to UL. CD, did we or did we not specifically talk about him with Shea Dixon on Tuesday, and Shea said he's somebody that the Cajuns will probably want to jump on sooner than later?
Correctamundo, and I think they want to. I think they listen to the show. I think they listen to the show that gets results.
So at some point, I'm going to say that Ben Love needs $1 million to do a radio show nationwide, and maybe that'll happen as well, because we are just absolutely hammering it this week. All right, before
outside
we
of picks,
run out of real estate here. Don't. Yes. But before we run out of time, Glenn Gilbo coming aboard in 10 minutes. Let me issue your daily reminder. Really, it's a PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust their management top down. It starts with Mark. They'll sit down with you, gauge your needs, and then they're going to execute. They could do it before the new year. They might be able to get you before the start of the football season. But if that's what you want, boy, you better hurry to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
We are never afraid on this show to look inward for shade. In fact, we provide a good bit of it every single day. Yesterday, Clint and I both jumped on Michigan to win the third and decisive game of the College World Series Finals. And, of course, we were both wrong, almost predictably, like laughably predictable, in fact. I said yesterday, if Clint and I are both on Michigan, everybody should probably sprint in the other direction as fast as you can toward Vandy. And, of course, Vanderbilt finished off a 59-win season. Awfully impressive. Swept the regular season and SEC tournament championships. Vandy won 8-2 last night. They are your College World Series champs. And so shade goes to Clint and I for awful predictions. Shade goes to what was a nice Cinderella story in the Michigan Wolverines. Shade goes to the Big Ten Conference. They can just slide right back down into oblivion. And, of course, shade goes to Wisconsin, which, as we pointed out earlier this week, still does not have a Division I baseball team. How is that possible? I know Iowa State, we mentioned the Big 12, is in the same boat. How is that possible? If you're a Power 5 conference, you should be participating in the year 2019 in college baseball. Certainly, there are enough kids who haven't ruined their arms yet in biddy ball and going up through high school to where they can still pitch for you. They probably aren't at LSU, but they're probably out there. And if you find them, give them one of your 11.7 scholarships and field a damn baseball team. There you go, Clint. I found a way to deflect from us and throw shade at others. Still, our picks were horrible. There's no questioning that.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
And we will tip our caps to Vandy. It's not as if Michigan just lost the darn thing. Vandy, they came storming back with great pitchers. We all know about the freshman who's so dynamic that won Tuesday night's game. But last night, Mason Hickman, Jake Eater, a combined 14 punch-outs of Michigan Wolverine batters. And it's the second ever program title for Vandy. Both have come during the Tim Corbin era. Can't get over the stat. Vandy's only been to four College World Series ever. All of them since 2011. And they have won two other times to TD Ameritrade. You know, just a few other things. When you take into consideration the season that Vanderbilt had, it's kind of stupid, frankly. I mentioned they swept the SEC regular season title, SEC tournament title, set a league record for wins, and they tied a record with 13 draft picks. Pretty prodigious season for Vanderbilt Commodores baseball. Oh, by the way, they lost back-to-back games. 71 times they played ball games this year. They lost back-to-back only twice during that 71-game run dating roughly back to Valentine's Day, 2019. So pretty heady stuff for Vandy. I said earlier in the show that maybe they're getting toward where South Carolina baseball was under Ray Tanner, two straight national championships. I think they probably have surpassed what Florida's done under Coach McConnell. They're not anywhere near the doorstep of what LSU did in the 90s and early aught decade under Skip Bertman, but they're making their way up the ladder, and they're very impressive, Vanderbilt, what they're doing on the diamond these days. All right, we got to step aside. Second time in the 5 o'clock hour. On the other side, Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser. We're going to talk not only LSU football, but some details about the LSU Board of Supervisor details. Well, can't say details on details. Yeah, there's a new agenda for the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow. There we go. And we will discuss with Glenn Gilbo. And then 6 to 6:30, Blaine Viator going deep on high school football, little Astros baseball as well. How do they get out of this funk? You're listening to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch. You're listening to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. And now we're going to take you to the other side of the basin. Catch up with one of our favorites aboard the ARCO Equipment Hotline, Glenn Gilbo. You read him every day in the Daily Advertiser. How are you, Glenn?
Good, Ben. How are you doing?
Things are good in Lafayette, and looks like if everything gets ratified by the Board of Supervisors tomorrow, things will be really good for Virge Alsbury in Baton Rouge. An elevation in title and a huge bump in pay. I have to think that this really fortifies that athletic department with his buddy Scott Woodward, right?
Yeah, they're expanding his duties somewhat. I think Virge has been loyal. He's been there a long time, and, he's been passed over for, the head job, the athletic director position, and probably could have been an athletic director at other schools. So I think they're kind of rewarding him for staying at LSU for so long. He was a skip hire back in 2001.
You know, one of the other names that's on the docket, Glenn, is Steve Ensminger, LSU offensive coordinator. But this is for an extension, not a raise. Do you get the impression Joe Brady is being brought on not only to work with him, but to be groomed as the OC of the future?
You know, that's possible. But I have to see something from Joe Brady first. I mean, I'm not sure why he's getting so much attention. He's basically was a graduate assistant at Penn State and with the Saints. I mean, he talks a good game, but Steve Ensminger is still the coordinator. I think Joe Brady still has to prove himself, and I don't know what he's not the coordinator. He's not going to be calling plays. I mean, LSU did something like this before when they hired the Florida assistant coach to be the pass game coordinator back in 2010, and that never really developed. Now, that was a different head coach, but that just remains to be seen. I'm not buying that yet. Ensminger's the offensive coordinator. I think he did a heck of a job last year. He only got his quarterback in June, and by the end of the year, they had a pretty decent offense. And I think you're going to see that offense improve this year, mainly because of Joe Burrow and Steve Ensminger.
Glenn Gilbo, our guest. You can read him in the Daily Advertiser, also a featured columnist for Tiger Rag Magazine. Interesting parallel, Glenn, that you bring up with Billy Gonzalez. We'll see if that holds with the tenure of Joe Brady. I'll ask you about Greg McMahon next, special teams coordinator. He makes a good bit of money with this raise that's proposed, $425,000 a year. But I would also say we saw what a difference having a coordinator for special teams can make last year. I mean, I guess your observations on how LSU was doing it without somebody in that spot and what they're doing with McMahon.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing the year before. It helps to have a good kicker too last year in Cole Henry, but Cole Tracy. But I think McMahon's a proven special teams coach who had a lot of good years with the Saints. I definitely think he deserves that salary, and I thought he improved the special teams as a whole last year. So, you know, they're rewarding the right people with this too. The secondary coach who I feel like really turned around the secondary and has helped in recruiting, I think that's a good move too.
You know, it's interesting. Somebody asked earlier about Corey Raymond, and you brought him up there. I thought that was taking care of maybe the last go-round.
This is the other DB coach I'm talking about.
Okay, Bill Bush. I got you.
Bill Bush, yeah. Yeah, he's the one. He's the one getting raised, and he's really, he's a more experienced coach than Corey, and, is helping Corey a lot, but is really running that secondary. Corey is mainly a recruiter.
Glenn, interested on your thoughts with LSU football and expectations for this fall. There have been a couple of over-under win totals that have come out. It was 9 last year, and they hit it on the head in the regular season. It's 9 again. Do you expect them to be better this year than last?
Well, last year there was quite a few people picking them to win 6 or 7. Some of that was before Burrow. But, I think LSU is going to be in that 11-win, 2-loss realm. They've lost 3 or more every year since 2012. I think they're going to finally break out of that and lose less than 3 games this season and get close to the playoff. I'm not sure if they'll get into the playoffs this year, but I think they'll be closer. They got a chance of being ranked high if they can beat Texas early. And I really think the fact this is the first year since the 2010 season that LSU returns the same offensive coordinator and same starting quarterback for most of the games the previous season. It's the first time they're doing that since then with Burrow and Ensminger, and I think that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's significant. And I want to ask you about Joe Burrow. The comparison game is not always easy or fair, but Glenn, does he remind you of anybody LSU's had at that position in this generation, say 2004?
No. No, he doesn't. I mean, you know, LSU had two great quarterbacks under Les Miles and Jamarcus Russell and Zach Mettenberger. Both finished, you know, third, second in the nation in passing efficiency, and in 06 with Russell and 13 with Mettenberger. But, you know, Mettenberger hardly ran at all, and Russell ran somewhat. He could scramble, and he was big. But Burrow is really a complete, you know, more all-around athlete, and can run and run with some speed. And, you know, he's kind of built like a tight end. You know, I can't really remember a quarterback as much of an overall athlete LSU's had as Joe Burrow. And, you know, I think it was just remarkable what they were able to accomplish last year with him just coming in June. So I'm looking forward to them being better this season. And, you know, by the end of last year, they were pretty good. I mean, his game at Texas A&M was really something. And had a very good game in the bowl after getting his head clocked there early in the game. So I think you're going to see a lot out of Burrow this season.
Coming down the stretch with our man Glenn Gilbo on 103.7 The Game. I keep getting fan reaction, Glenn, to the week two trip to Austin. From your perspective, looking forward to it, what do you make out of that game?
Oh, I think Texas was pretty good last year, too. Yeah, it's a very interesting game. LSU and Texas are two huge programs that have bordered on the border, and you know, they just haven't played that much, especially in the regular season. And then you throw in the fact that LSU tried to hire Tom Herman from Houston before he went to Texas. Just a very interesting game. And it's the kind of game that if LSU wins that game and wins the rest of its games, I think it could lose to Alabama and still get in the playoff.
I agree with you. I do. I'll ask you this too, Glenn, as we wrap up here. It was announced on this side of the basin today that starting this football season, the Cajuns are going to be selling 16-ounce domestic cans for $2. Can you imagine what would happen if they did that in Tiger Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're already doing that outside the stadium before the game and after the game. But, yeah, that would be a big seller in Tiger Stadium for sure. Just do the math. You know, there's a twice as many more people, so that's a lot more money.
At least twice, but you're absolutely right on that front. Glenn, you know, we appreciate the visit. Look forward to doing it again soon. Enjoy your summer.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Glenn Gilbo. Read him in the Daily Advertiser. Follow him on Twitter, at LSU Beat Tweet. CD, I don't think that's post shade there. He said twice the amount of people. Capacity, what, 34, 35
yeah.
On one side, capacity 102 on the other. So, again, no vermilion and white shade there. And we're not even going to start to talk actual assault on either side of the basin, but $2, 16-ounce domestic cans. That is something we can all live with and maybe even write home about. All right, we got to send this thing home one final time in the hour. We'll be right back in, and Blaine Viator joins us in 15 minutes. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. That are following the Cajuns are having a good time. Not only is Errol Rogers Jr., wide receiver from LCA, now in the boat, I'm also now seeing where Dominique Ratcliffe, a defensive tackle from Conroe High School, and that's Conroe, Texas, north of Houston, has committed as well. Please do tell me if I'm missing any more. Maybe there's just a flurry, and two is all I can find on Twitter at the moment. But between Errol Rogers Jr. and now Dominique Ratcliffe, hey, that's not a bad haul for a Thursday afternoon.
Oh, no, not at all, man. I would absolutely love to see more players commit, because it felt like, you know, whenever I was just looking at the commits that we had at this point, I believe, when we were talking about the Cajuns, I believe this was Tuesday when we were kind of talking about it, it felt pretty light. I think we only had three commits at this point. That's two more in the boat. I think they can wind up getting a lot more as the calendar flips over to July.
It's interesting. I mean, we keep talking about the LSU numbers, and I know it's a different situation, but still the Tigers, you know, hovering around 18, 19, 20 commits even. But they've done so much. Ogeron and LSU have out of state. And so Shea Dixon, Go247.com, has talked about this on the program. How many of those guys did they lose, right? So many at wide receiver, so many along the defensive line. Is somebody going to start doing the math and saying, where do I fit in? It almost feels inevitable to me. I'm not suggesting they're going to lose a lot of huge commits. I just think they don't keep everybody, and that's just natural, right? You follow recruiting, there's necessary attrition, and you get it. On the Cajun side, CD, you're right. We did have a tally, I believe, earlier this week of three. Again, I'm just seeing these two right now. I don't know if they're isolated, but that would bring the number to five, and you keep growing from there. But the other thing that's interesting to me, again, it's all numbers, right? You go back to this past weekend. I addressed this earlier in the week on the program. Les Miles in Kansas, of all people. Kansas had a huge official visitor weekend that netted seven verbal pledges. Seven in one weekend, and suddenly KU is a top 20 class in America. Will they stay that way? Time will tell. But the Cajuns in recent weeks have had a 7-on-7. They've had official visitors of their own, and now you're beginning to see some of the fruits of that labor. Always recruiting season, year-round. This just another example of that. All right, I got an interesting text during the break, and so we'll have to bring it to the show. Why not? You got to do it. It's too much fun. Somebody said, where's the sink or swim question today? Really, they had two questions. That was the first. So let me address it. We started at 4:30, Clint. We didn't know. Actually, about 4:22 maybe. You never know on these Astros midday games, when are we starting? Makes it impossible for me to schedule early guests in the program, and it just makes all kind of things fun. Moving pieces, it's live radio, you deal with it, and you move the hell on. But here's the point. I didn't think we'd have very much of a 4 o'clock hour, so I didn't schedule sink or swim. Here was part two of the question from an anonymous texter. Why isn't sink or swim the following? How many $2 16-ounce domestic cans can you drink if you go to Cajun Field? I don't think he's asking legally how many will they serve you, because obviously they're going to try and cut you off if they see you getting a little, cross-eyed or slurring a little bit. But, Clint, we will make that the unofficial sink or swim question with a few moments left in the 5 o'clock hour. You're exempt. You don't drink. But how many 16-ounce domestic cans can I throw back? Maybe the operative question, how many will I throw back, knowing that they're only $2? That changes the equation a little bit. I will generously, or maybe that's not the right word, I will conservatively set the over-under at how many will I? Let's just say 3.5, 4.5. How many can I? I don't know. How much money's on the line there? You know, run that number up about as high as you like. But I found that interesting. Somebody already wants to put that out there. I don't think he just wanted it for me. And after all, I am a member of the media. I do have season tickets, so I'll be using those. I won't be in the press box. Yes, I will have beers, but, you know, the host of Bumper to Bumper Sports is also not trying to go out and have 13 beers at a Cajuns game. That's probably not a good look. So the math and the equation shifts a little. Like I said, 3 or 4 in the stadium, and then, behind closed doors, the number is what it is. Which is to say, whatever I want it to be. But that's not a bad question. And so I'll put it forth to YP, you people out there in listener land. Now that it's basically $2 a pop, if you want a 16-ounce domestic can, how many do you plan on celebrating a home game with? And we'll presume, for the sake of this question, that you're not driving home. You got a ride. You're catching an Uber. Feel free, if you want. You can have some fun with it on the show. You could even give us a pseudonym. We don't have to have your real name. We know that your boss listens to B2BS. So whatever you got, hit us. 706-0111. Clint, I will modify the question for you, my non-alcohol swinging friend. I know that you're in the press box, but yeah. Let's say that you are a paying customer. Now that hot dogs are $1 a pop, how many would you have if you were a paying customer?
You know, I'd probably keep it a light number. I'm not going to go into a Kobayashi mode, kind of eating like 50 hot dogs. Let's go with four over the course of a ball game. I think that's a generous number.
Keep it light. I like that. Keep it light and only have four hot dogs. And certainly, I better not see Cajun fans dipping it into water and then going overboard. That's don't dip it into the water and then, you know, slide it down the throat. That's not good for anybody, right? Especially the one eating the hot dogs. But pretty cool news today. And I'll continue to call it Cajun's Concession Paradise. $1. Moving forward. Starting this football season, we'll get you a hot dog. $1 will get you popcorn. $1 will get you a bag of potato chips. And $3 will get you a hamburger or a cheeseburger. Those are prices everybody can live with, and I hope it keeps you going to and staying in Cajun's football games. I know that's the point of it, and I am right there behind the brain trust making these decisions for the Vermilion and White. Pretty cool stuff. Like the opposite of a tax hike, right? Yeah, that's at least the way I'm choosing to think about it. All right, we're going to shut it down for hour two. Here's the good news. We got an hour to go. Here's more good news. Blaine Viator joins us when we return. High school football talk, Astros baseball talk, all of it coming your way. Hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch, my name is Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in, and before you know it, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. Hour three, our final hour on this Thursday, June 27 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Underway on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside Blaine Viator at the Tap Room River Ranch, the famous Clint D. Three-man weave inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Blaine, as we welcome you back in, I haven't seen a pop-up shower like this one in a while. Thank God it is dry inside the tap room, but this thing happened immediately, and holy hell, it is raining.
I mean, the umbrellas were flopping around out there. The door got literally blown off the hinges, Ben. It just came out of nowhere, but hey, it's very dry in here. People are all over the place. Drinks are flowing. Very, very good time over here at Tap Room River Ranch.
There we go. Got that. Well, say we got the mic set up and ready to roll. Now I think we're cooking with some grease here. Okay. I want to start on the Astros, and we'll make our way very quickly to high school football. What concerns you the most? I know they've lost 8 out of the last 10. I understand that. I know that it's been a concern with the hitting the last 2 nights. Well, a night and then a day. It's been a huge concern when it comes to pitching. Is any of it long-lasting in your estimation?
Well, look, when you're going to play as many games as they do in Major League Baseball, you're going to have, you know, ebbs and flows throughout the season. And I think the Astros are just having some tough luck right now, not playing their best baseball, not swinging the bat well. It's going to turn around. They're just too talented for it not to. They also got to get healthy. I mean, they have got Altuve back. Springer came back a couple nights ago, along with Colin McHugh. And I think that kind of stuff is going to be key in getting them back on the right track. We talked about pitching, and I know you thought that maybe the bullpen was more of a concern than the starters, but
right.
I'm still of opinion that it's the starting staff. I mean, you get another starter in there, you can move Peacock back to the bullpen where you've seen him have a lot of success in the last couple seasons, and I think Colin McHugh would just be dynamite out of the bullpen. He's a guy that could come in and eat up a lot of innings when the starters are having a bit of a rough go. But look, Wade Miley can continue to give them quality starts. The bats are going to come around. The Astros are going to be just fine.
Here's the flip side of what you just said. I wouldn't argue what you contended, but how much faith do you have in Brad Peacock? He's the one today that gave you the the laughable start a night after Framber Valdez did the same. So I get the fact that you're counting on Verlander and then Cole. And I'm with you so far. Miley's going to keep doing this. He was good for the Brewers in the playoffs last year. That's three, and that's all you need in the playoffs. If you want McHugh to the bullpen, do you trust somebody as four?
Well, Peacock is the guy that I'd love to move to the bullpen more than anyone.
Along
you know?
With McHugh?
Yes, both okay. of those guys. I mean, they've had trouble, too, in the bullpen as well. But, look, they got to go out and get somebody, Ben. I don't know who that guy is, but like we mentioned before on these Thursdays, is you got to win when your window's open. And in Major League Baseball, along with any pro sports, those windows don't stay open for very long. So go out and get your guy, you know. And, look, I know people are floating around Madison Bumgarner right now. It looks like the Giants might want to jump on that, get rid of that contract, and see if they can't start building that thing over on the Bay. But I'm not sure he's the guy, but you go out and get somebody, quality guy like that. I know you don't want to give up some of those top prospects, but, hey, you got to win now when you have this talent.
Can I tell you the problem if you don't go out and get Madison Bumgarner? I think there's a good chance that your AL competition will. The Yankees are pretty closely linked as well. And so you don't ever spend to prevent somebody else from spending, and you definitely don't get in a spending war with the Yankees. But wouldn't it suck if they roll him out as a game one or two starter against you in the ALDS or the ALCS?
I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, already with the lineup they have, and, you know, they got some injuries themselves. Once they get healthy, they're going to be even better. I'm more concerned right now, Ben, is the race in the AL West. I mean, look, the Rangers are only 4.5 games back now, I think it is. Is that sustainable? You know, do we really believe in that pitching staff to keep it going? I think their lineup's not too bad. Look, Joey Gallo's having a bang-up year, just getting off the DL, playing much better than we anticipated. But that pitching staff's still very iffy. I don't think that's sustainable in the long term.
And so old, too. Some of the guys they have that are doing it, I just don't know. I believe in them like you for 162 games and beyond. So we shall see. The other bummer out of today, but I think it's short-term bad news. Jordan Alvarez left the game early. Afterwards, A.J. Hinch told reporters, look, we did it out of precaution. He did say we'll likely give the kid a day or two off. I guess your thoughts on the 22-year-old, where he is, and how they'll continue to use him once everybody's back and healthy.
I think he's a guy that he has so much natural raw power. I mean, when he hit the baseball through the infield and the infield in the other night, bringing in a run that went all the way to the fence, the exit velocity off the bat was like 108, almost 109.
Wow.
I mean, the guy just murders baseballs. He's going to be in this for the long haul. The Astros have to find somewhere to put him. It looks like the DH role will be there for him. But look, he's showed he's, you know, he's serviceable. You can put him out there in the outfield. Looks like, I mean, Yuli Gurriel's been terrific as of late. Can't really move him out of first base, but he has a home somewhere in this lineup, and A.J. Hinch has moved guys around to make stuff fit throughout the year.
How about this as a natural transition? Ben Love alongside Blaine Viator live from the Taproom River Ranch. A transition from Astros baseball to high school football. People have called in and answered our de facto sink or swim question of the day. Actually, I asked it right before you got here. You probably didn't hear. Now that 16-ounce domestic cans are going to be $2 at Raging Cajun Games, I asked, how many can you and will you drink? Frank called in. The answer from Frank, all of them. It's a pretty good answer. Patrick called in. 2 beers per hour, a hot dog per half. By the way, they're $1 a pop. And a bag of chips before heading to the car. They're also $1. I'll add this. And a bag of chips before heading to the car to sober up.
Okay. So, I mean, he's looking at spending, what, $11, $12 for those new concession prices? Hey, I think what UL is doing is just terrific, though, man. Getting guys into the stands, keeping them there, not keeping them in the parking lot. You know, I think this model is going to be great for them as they try to expand their athletics and, you know, try to get on that bigger stage. I think other schools probably need to look at this as well. And you might see a copy, you know, throughout the area.
It's not a bad thought. And I will say this. Patrick is slaying me with the first part of this. 2 beers per hour. I know we continue with the hot dogs, the chips, and that game plan. It reminds me of, please tell me, Blaine, that you've seen the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. A classic. And at a bar that's not nearly as classy as where you and I are right now at the Tap Room, one of the great lines of all time, and I'll butcher this a little. The waitress, bartender, whatever, comes up to their table. Rodney Dangerfield said, bring us a pitcher of beer every 10 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring us one every 5 minutes.
That's what college athletics is turning into, huh?
College football games. Back to school, same thing.
Hey, look, the SEC is jumping on board with allowing alcohol sales inside their venues now. Hey, if LSU starts serving $2 beers, you thought they had problems in Tiger Stadium before?
No,
that would be
That would be a poor idea. Yeah, bad things in any language. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think so. But, hey, look, I'm thinking about it. I might actually go to a couple more UL games this year. You'll draw me in with $2 beer. I mean, come on. Hey, look, if I'm sitting at the house on a Saturday, why not go out and watch some football and drink $2 beer, you know?
And I know people, at least one of them is listening. His name won't go out on the radio, at least not for the right fee. But this person is a firm believer. It's kind of like if you go to a movie. Blaine, what happens if a movie starts and it says it starts at 7 p.m.? What time does that feature film actually begin?
I mean, you're probably going to have 7:15, 7:20.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
They want to get you in
the
there.
The previews and the internal promos and everything else. All right. It's not just UL. I'm not bagging on the Cajuns here. If a football game says it starts at 6 p.m., what time is kickoff?
6:10, 6:12, somewhere in that ballpark.
This person, who shall remain nameless,
that's a whole beer,
knows that. They stay in the parking lot. They don't want to do the national anthem and all the TV timeouts before the game. They're in there like swimwear for a 6 p.m. start at about 6:13. At a minimum, this person should now be in there at 6 p.m. and be a beer and a half in at 6:13.
Right. I mean, if he's staying in the parking lot, he's probably drinking 12-ounce beers. So he probably has two of them. In that, what, 10-minute stretch?
You might have insulted him. I'll call him and ask after the show.
So now you can go inside and get 4 more ounces for a beer, man.
I wish we could say this person's name. He would be known through Acadiana, and then we'll accuse him of drinking pony beers in the parking lot.
Oh, wow. I think I even know who you're talking about at this point.
Oh, we got to keep a name out of mouth. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's set a break. We'll regroup. We'll talk high school football. I had Matt McCullough on the show yesterday. He'll be a second-year head coach of Acadiana High Football. I want to touch on that a little bit and then some other powers and some growing powers from around the area. Plus, I'll let you weigh in on Errol Rogers Jr. committing to UL earlier this afternoon. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and look, the beers may not be $2, but they're plentiful and they're really good at the Taproom River Ranch. Cold as well. We'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Oh, honey, come here, will you? I need 2 more glasses for the girls. And also, bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
All right, I got the numbers a little bit backwards.
Clint's still clutch, though.
But that couldn't be any more clutch right there.
Nice shot, Clint.
From the famous Clint D. I know that Alex Bregman says Houston is clutch city. Today it is Lafayette and the Acadiana area. Kudos to Clint. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Hey, before we get to the high school stuff, we keep getting delayed for good reason because people keep talking about what I'm calling Cajun's Concession Paradise. $2, 16-ounce domestic cans coming to Cajun Field and a UL athletic event near you. Another texter to remain anonymous. Just kidding. It's a local U.S. senator. No, it's not. It's not. But this text is fantastic. Ben, those beers don't have a chance, man. I'd say a solid 8 are going down a game, plus a hot dog. I'm becoming a UL fan. Tell the AD he's a brilliant man.
There you go. And look, hey, I know we talk about
football. 8.
Football is like the first thing that comes to everybody's mind, but, I mean, all UL athletics for concession?
How many beers are you going to have on a hot day at the tee,
hey,
looking into the sun?
Man, you know,
50-11.
Couple beers and baseball after work, you know, with the boys is sounding like a winner, you know, come springtime.
Yeah, there's no question. And the reference from our texter, tell the AD, that's not like a random thing. In case you're just joining the show, Dr. Brian Maggard will join me tomorrow as soon as we set sail. So 4 p.m. live at Rufino's on the river, he'll be in person. Come check him out if you get a chance. Listen in if you can't on 103.7 The Game. All right.
Do you salute him immediately for the concession?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shake his hand.
Thank him for all of Acadiana.
Yes. This is from all of us to you. All right, let's get to the high school stuff, and I'll let you react. Aaron Rodgers Jr. in the last few hours, 2020 wide receiver from Lafayette Christian Academy, commits to Billy Napier and the Cajuns. I think that's a player that's going to have a lot more opportunity as his senior season goes on. However, with the limited height and some of those things, this is a good landing spot in my opinion.
I think this is a great get for Billy Napier and his staff. Kudos to them to going out and recruiting the Acadiana area. We've always said that, you know, that's where the previous regime kind of missed the mark a little bit, didn't recruit the area as hard, but they're tackling it head on and they're getting a great player. Aaron Rodgers is so dynamic, Ben. He can do it so many different ways. I mean, you've seen him lead his team from the quarterback position, win a state championship.
We called that game a
couple years back. But I think he could be an excellent defensive back as well. I mean, the kid has great hips, jumps really well, can really flip and run. And, I mean, he has great speed, you know.
Did you see what he did at LSU's Elite Camp last week?
Yeah, he was turning around a couple guys like Elias Ricks and Major Burns.
So that's why I think he'll get his first jump with Tim Legge on that side of the ball. But your point is well taken.
Yeah, I think you could use him in a number of ways, especially in the return game. I mean, he's dynamic with the football in his hand as well. I just think he's a tremendous athlete. He's a winner, a great kid, and has the proven pedigree to go along with it.
I mentioned before the break, yesterday Matt McCullough, Acadiana High football coach, joined the program. I'll get your reaction to the front end of the schedule. And his reaction to how it came about didn't surprise me. The idea that at Acadiana, you got to find people that want to play you, and that's not always an easy task. And shame on me, I'm blanking. I know that it goes versus Ruston, versus LCA weeks 2 and 3.
Character,
there it is. Duh.
In the Crow Dome, man.
Yeah. And suddenly I can't go back to the north side of Lafayette Parish. All right, so yes, at Carrick week 1 versus Ruston, versus LCA. What say you?
Well, look, this is a program that's been doing this for many, many years. You know, load that front end of the schedule. Get battle tested. Get your guys ready for when playoff comes around. Look, they already play in a deep district. You know, that 3-5-A district down here with the Lake Charles schools. You're going to be battle tested every week in that district already. But then when you prove yourself early in the season against some teams like you just mentioned, the Ruston, LCA, and Carrickers of the world that are, you know, all strong playoff contenders, hey, by the time playoffs come, hey, it might get a little easier in the first couple of weeks before you play somebody.
Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch and talking high school football. Get used to it in this segment, 6 to 6:30, especially as we get closer and into football season. In fact, I got a really cool announcement to make. We'll do that after this next talking point. I wanted to get to Southside High at some point in our conversation today. And we haven't seen this in a while, have we? A school that gets introduced to varsity football and right into the 5A level. You're talking about, I know the pun's intended here, but swimming with sharks right into 3-5A for the Southside Sharks. I had a chance to catch up with head coach Josh Fontenot recently. They had a really good spring, ton of fan support. They had over 200 people that attended the spring game alone. They're building there. Your impressions on what that immersion is going to be like for Southside?
Well, I think they got the right man in charge over there. I mean, Coach Fondo's been doing this for a while. He's had proven success, and he knows how to build a program. And that's what he's doing. He's doing it from the ground up. I think the big thing you mentioned is the community support. You have to have that. You have to have those boosters to come in and help offset some costs to get you guys the right equipment and all that kind of thing. And he has a ton of that over there on the south side. So, look, I don't expect them to come in and dominate that district. It's just too hard straight out the gates. But I think they're going to build something very nice there. This might take a couple years to get there.
If I'm not mistaken, I looked at the schedule a few days back. I believe game one is against North side. So a little south side versus north side to begin.
How about that for your first?
Look, absolutely no shade at John Simmons and the red and black attack. They've been very good to me in this program over the years. A lot of respect for the Vikings. I will suggest, however, that that is a winnable game for Southside, and it should at least be competitive.
Yeah, I would actually say Southside should probably be in the favorite in that game. Look, Northside, no, like you said, don't throw any shade at them, but they have an uphill battle. You know, last year you saw their numbers were real down. I'm not sure what they're looking at this point.
You know, looking at it this way, though, I'll make this correction. Their numbers are up from where they were, but they're still down compared to others in 4A. You're right.
I mean, when you only have 25, 30 kids to operate with, it's going to be difficult no matter who you play. Now you're going to go to a 5A school in week one, you know, and hopefully Coach Simmons and his numbers are a little bit up. going into the season.
And I'm not sure I've told you this yet, and I'm not even sure that it's public knowledge. So, you know, here goes a guy with a big mouth and a radio show talking to nine parishes. Southside High is going to play their home football games for at least the next year, I would think maybe a little bit more, at Turlings Catholic.
Oh, wow. So, for my
money, the best home facility in the Acadiana area.
It's a beautiful facility over there. Press box, nobody even, you know, compares to it in the Acadiana area. But, hey, nice field, turf field. That even makes the Northside game even more interesting, right? Northside just has to take a short bus trip over there, right across the street almost, over there to Turlings, and they'll get to strap it up against Southside in the first varsity game.
So I was curious to ask you about the Southside Sharks. If we have time, I want to get into a couple of other contenders in the area this year. But let's make a pretty cool announcement right now. Next Thursday is the 4th of July. Won't have a show. Won't be here at the Taproom River Ranch. Actually, might be. Just, you know, drinking. Sure. But the Thursday after that is July the 11th. So let me explain what we're going to do over a two-day stretch. Wednesday, July 10th. Thursday, July 11th. Your boy's amped about this. You know we stay all over high school football. Those 2 days, Wednesday, Thursday, July 10th, July 11th, is the Quick Slant 7-on-7 live from St. Thomas Morris Football Field. B2BS Wednesday the 10th will be live for the press box at Cougar Field from 4 to 6 p.m. That's the small school's day. And so I'll have players, coaches, interviews coming up to the press box. I'll be giving live updates, what I am actually watching. The next day, I'll be back here every Thursday at the Taproom River Ranch. Blaine, I know you're going to go out and check it out for several hours on Thursday. And so this time, 2 weeks from now, you'll be given a 30-minute live update on what you saw from the big schools at the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. This is going to be fun.
I love 7-on-7 football, especially when you get to this time of year. It just gets you kind of amped up and fired up for the season. Look, I'm excited to go and see what Walker Howard's made of. You know, STM sometimes has some split squads when they do this Quick Slant deal, so you might get to see a little bit more of Walker Howard, but Caleb Holstein's going to be ultra impressive. But I'm excited to see some of the other schools and how they can, you know, develop the quarterback position, because, hey, that's what everybody's looking at right there when you go, right? It's QBs, the spotlight's on them, and then the DBs and wide receivers, that's the next thing everybody's looking at. So it's going to be a ton of fun.
Fun for almost everybody, except for every offensive lineman everywhere who just gave the show up. A one-finger salute, right? It's 7-on-7. It's all skill positions. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I do want to say this up front. This was the brainchild of a number of area coaches. And I think we're doing some things right on the show. I think we're doing some things right with the high school football and high school sports programming. I do want to give a shout-out, among others, Shane Savoy at STM mentioned this. Ben Mouton came to us with this idea from Como as well. So pretty cool that people are thinking about the show. And I'd also want to thank Matt Roth with Quick Slants. He puts this tournament on every year. I know it's a huge labor of love for him. But we're going to come and give that bad boy some publicity. And we're coming guns blazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired. Hey, look, make no mistake about it, man. When you get down to November, that's when you win football games. And with those big uglies, those offensive linemen who are upset with me right now, they'll win their games in November when the playoff time starts.
Only got about a minute left in the segment, so I don't think we're going to be able to dive too much into the contenders. We'll save that. Yeah, we got a few months left in summer before the first games are played. But the one thing I'll keep reminding fans of, I am psyched up about this too, man. First week of the high school football season is the week after Labor Day weekend. So the first week of college football, uninterrupted, brother.
To partake in all the fun and excitement that brings, if that means you're going over to New Orleans for UL Mississippi State, or going to head over to LSU and tailgate, you can do whatever you want uninterrupted in week one.
Have as many of those 16-ounce domestic cans
you
want.
Yeah, you could be in the Superdome. It'll be a whole lot more than $2, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks for the reminder there. I will be there to watch the Cajuns against Mississippi State. $2.
$2 won't get you much inside the Superdome.
I might be expected to tip $2 a can in the Superdome, right?
That's true, man. But I'm sure
or else somebody pops a tire down below in Canal Street. Blaine, thanks again for doing this. We'll catch up a live report from you 2 weeks from now, July the 11th, after coverage of the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament.
Looking forward to it, man.
All right, got to hit a quick break. We'll be right back in. More of the good stuff coming at you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, having fun in the rain, subsiding outside of the Taproom River Ranch. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station. Game at 1037thegame.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports
on 1037 The Game.
And here we go. Back at it again. The clock.
You've got Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love hanging out live at the Tap Room River Ranch. The famous Clint D is waiting patiently for his turn. And, oh, it is coming. In our next segment, Clint will take you under the dome. His look at the over-under win totals that have been assessed for LSU, 9, and UL, 5.5. I'm going to leave it right there and let Clint drop the mic on you in about 10 or 12 minutes. And I'll tell you what's funny. It never ceases to amaze me when I talk high school sports on this show, in particular local high school football. Everybody gets amped up. Everybody's got opinions. Everybody's just passionate. And immediately I had a texter to the program, Ben, you got to coach up the linemen. So don't forget them. In fact, they'll be doing that tomorrow. The Falk Football Camp, the 16th annual Falk Football Camp, going on tomorrow for the middle schoolers and then Saturday for the high schoolers at Lafayette Christian Academy. So, yeah, we appreciate that. That'll be both Trev Falk and Kevin Falk. And shout out to Trev Falk. I know right now, as things stand, he won't be coaching next year, but as I've told you on the show before, well, he's a good man, and I don't really care what the LHS AA has to say about this situation. That's a separate matter. Good man and a man of faith. And so I'll support him and our guy Feezy K anytime when they've got a football camp. And again, they do tomorrow and Saturday over at Lafayette Christian Academy. All right, CD, got to take a little bit of a twirl with the news of the day. The LSU Board of Supervisors has a new agenda and will vote on contracts for 8 athletic staffers tomorrow, Friday, June 28th. 4 of them are on the LSU football staff. Steve Ensminger, offensive coordinator. James Craig, offensive line coach. Both are up for extensions. Both will have their pay stay right where it is, in case you're wondering. Slinger makes $800K a year. James Craig, who formerly coached O-line at the San Diego Chargers. Yeah, they were at San Diego then. I said it right. And the Denver Broncos, Craig, brings home $475,000 a year. Strength and conditioning coordinator Greg, I did that in hour one, shame on me. Special teams coordinator Greg McMahon is proposed for a raise up to $425,000 large a year. And now, strength and conditioning coordinator Tommy Moffitt, friend of the program, he is being proposed to up his pay to $530,000 a year. After that, a couple of other notes related to LSU sports that the Board of Supervisors will have in front of them tomorrow. And again, these things almost always get rubber stamped home and ratified. LSU basketball assistant head coach Bill Armstrong, it's being proposed that he get a 2-year extension and a $75,000 a year raise up to $325,000 a season. And finally, and I think the biggest news, frankly, yesterday Verge Osbury came on the program, and tomorrow he'll get a title bump and a huge pay raise. Shout out to Verge Osbury, graduate of Nish High School. And what's being proposed is that they're going to elevate him to executive deputy AD, and they're going to create a new position just for him. He'll also be, Osbury, the executive director of external relations. As far as the pay scale, this is the reason the guy's happy to stick around. I know he didn't get elevated to AD, but he'll go from $230,000 a year to an average of $511,000 a year. Anytime you can up the pay by more than double, you're doing the right thing. And if that position sounds familiar, well, it should. As I mentioned in the 4 o'clock hour, Woodward himself from 2000 to 2004 held a similar title when he cut his teeth at LSU under then leader Dr. Mark Emmert, Chancellor Dr. Mark Emmert at that point. Emmert, of course, now is the president of the NCAA. Other big news, Vanderbilt closed out one of the best college baseball seasons in recent memory with a title. The Commodores last night won Game 3 of the CWS Best 2-of-3 Final. Final score over Michigan was 8-2. Mason Hickman, Jake Eater combined on the mound for 14 Vanderbilt strikeouts of big blue batters. That is incredible. And so pitching once again gets it done for Vandy. And with the wealth of aces that they have put through to the show, well, that's going to be no surprise. As far as the big picture look, Vandy's had four appearances all time at the College World Series. All four of them have come since 2011. And they've won titles twice in that span, once in 2014 and, of course, this 2019 season. Overall, Vandy went 59-12 on the season. They set a regular season record for wins in the SEC. They won the SEC regular season outright, the SEC conference tournament, and then they closed it off at TD Ameritrade last night with a resounding 8-2 victory over Michigan. So that Cinderella story eventually hit the fly swatter, but an unbelievable season for Michigan and brought some relevancy back to Big Ten baseball. Other big news, the Houston Astros, that news ain't great. They lost 10-0 today after falling last night 14-2. And the pitching lines from the starters will look the same because, well, they were. Framber Valdez, he's done some opening in recent months. He started with the intention of going deeper last night. Didn't happen. Valdez yielded 6 earned runs over 3 innings. Today, same exact line for Brad Peacock. 3 innings, 6 earned runs. And the Astros, as I mentioned, lost those two games by a combined 24-2 score. And so it's 2 straight losses. Have dropped. Overall record is 50-32. And, yeah, don't look now, but those Texas Rangers are not so slowly but surely creeping up. In fact, you take a little look around the AOS standings, and, yeah, there's cause for concern. Blaine Viator touched on this. 5.5 games. And this isn't even updated with today now that I'm looking at it. Before the day, it was 5.5 games that Houston was up on the Texas Rangers. Only 7 games up on Oakland, 9 games up on the Angels. Again, that was before today's loss at home to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Stros going to be looking to get back on track, and they'll have to do it for the next game, maybe 2, without Yordan Alvarez, 22-year-old hitting phenom. Oftentimes slotting in as the DH for Hinch and company. They took him out midway through today's ball game. Hinch said after the game it was a precautionary measure, and they're likely to give him a day, maybe 2 off, to get right. So the Astros in general looking to get right, but it hasn't happened in the last couple of weeks. That much is certain. Finally, I'm burying the lead. You've heard us reference this throughout the hour. Here are the details. Raging Cajun's Athletics today announced a big move to improve in-game experience in a big way. They're calling it family-friendly concession prices. I think it's friendly to the family, and it's friendly to the local alcohol consumer that also likes sports, which, you know, is basically everybody listening. How about this? $1 moving forward, and this is for football, volleyball. It's going to extend as the calendar year goes on to more sports. $1 at Cajun Field. Week 2 of the season will get you a hot dog. $1 will get you popcorn. That same dollar bill will get you a bag of potato chips. As far as the alcohol goes, how about $2 for a 16-ounce domestic can? $4 will get you either a 16-ounce craft beer can or a 16-ounce domestic draft. This is the right way to go. This is a model, as Blaine Viator said about 20 minutes ago, I could see emulated, seriously, in other places around America. Group of 5, Power 5, who gives a crap? Just give the people what they want, and don't charge them through the nose for it. If you do that, I think what you're going to find, and certainly what the Cajuns are betting on here, is that the people will stay. They'll be there for the whole game. when you're on television, whether it's being streamed or whether it's on live national television, it will look full. Why? Well, because it will be full, or at least fuller. That's the way that I look at it. Been having a lot of fun today at the Tap Room River Ranch. Easy to do. They keep improving the experience here. How about in-bar experience? What was a pair of 54-inch big-screen TVs behind the bar just this week have been elevated to 65-inch TVs, and they are sweet. They're getting ready for football season at the Tap Room River Ranch. Trust me, they know exactly what they're doing. As the manager here said, and I'll co-sign this, David, 22 more inches for your football viewing pleasure. Plus, they've got more than 40 beers on draft, the best flatbread in town, and, of course, the dynamite wings with the schwing sauce. They're not only good to eat, but they smell good. How do I know that? Somebody at the table over has 12 of them with some ranch. 7 o'clock can't come fast enough for yours truly. This is a great place to be every Thursday night with live music 8 to 11. Every Saturday night during the summer, live music 8 to 11. There's no cover charge. Just a great place to spend your weekend. All right, we'll be right back in. Clint's taking you under the dome next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Back in one final time. You're dialed in Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Of course, it's Thursday. We're continuing to have fun at the Tap Room River Ranch. And, of course, as soon as we're done, well, the fun goes on here. Jacob Hebert in the building tonight. Again, 8 to 11. You know how they get down. There's no cover charge. Just a great time and a great way to start your weekend. Speaking of the weekend and speaking of the Tap Room River Ranch, they've got the Saturday Summer Music Series. Jones and Hollers will be here. Same drill, 8 to 11, no cover. Just keep having a good time. I know you will. All right, before we completely shut things down today, something came up earlier in the week. CD, I believe it was Tuesday, but this over-under win total that came out, and shame on me, I had the name two shows ago, but, you know, that's been like 48 hours and at least six or seven beers, so whatever. But there was an over-under win total set for every Division I college football team. LSU had the bar set at 9. Same place it was last year, if I'm not mistaken. UL, going into year 2 for Billy Napier, had the over-under set at 5.5, which actually, as memory serves, again, I've already told you, memory's not always great, but I feel pretty confident in telling you that number was the same last year. So what do we know? That LSU in its regular season, well, they would have pushed last year. That 7 overtime result in Texas A&M kept the Tigers from going over in the 2018 regular season. Raging Cajuns won 7 out of 12 games in the regular season, so they really kind of smashed their over-under number year 1 for Billy Napier. And so we've got some interesting dynamics at play. Both programs expected locally to take a step forward. A lot of people believe this is an LSU team that can win 10 or 11 games. Are you willing to bet on it? A lot of people, especially in the Hub City, think that the Cajuns have the opportunity to at least match what they did a year ago, which is to say win the Sun Belt Conference Western Division. Hey, if you could take a step forward, that means winning the conference. Wouldn't that be something? Year 2 under Billy Napier. And so that's me setting the table. Clint, I want to know what you think about it, and so do the people. It's time that you school them. It's time that you take them under the dome.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The over-unders are always a fun thing to look at the beginning of the year, and I think whenever you look at the first things first, it's got to be without a doubt what's going on with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. 5.5 over-under? Are you kidding me? That is incredibly easy money. You're not going to make a whole lot of profit off of it. But I can say right here, right now, I would love to throw down some money right here, right now on the Cajuns being over 5.5 wins. It seems easy money. And it feels similar to last year. I'll be just counting Trey Cash, homie, and say right here, right now, this is going to be very, very fun, very entertaining season. And I think they can wind up going 3-1 to start the season, definitely helping their chances of getting over that hump and getting the 6 wins. I am not surprised that they went 5.5. It feels like Vegas, maybe they know something a little bit more than we do. But at the end of the day, I see this team, and I have to say, I am looking forward to seeing this team. 2019, of course, you start off against Mississippi State, but then you have Texas Southern, Liberty. I think Ohio could be one of those trip-up games where you can start off 2-2. And even then, 2-2, it's way better than maybe some people would have thought you would have started heading into the season, because I think Liberty could be an interesting team with Hugh Freeze. I believe his first season there, that's a whole different can of worms. But I still think we could talk about the Louisiana Raging Cajuns being well over 5.5 wins. I could probably say 7-5 to end the year would be ideal. That'd be the ideal thing. But I think everybody's expectations is we step it up even further. We go up beyond that, 8-4, 9-3. That's not out of the realm of possibility. Don't get me wrong. But you still got to remember, you've got Texas, you got Arkansas State, you've got UL Monroe, who can definitely give you a lot of problems. You've got App State and Troy, who always give you problems. I think those two games are going to be something just to keep an eye on in the not too distant future. And looking over at LSU, that over-under is set at 9 wins. I almost feel like going push here. I'm very much teetering towards push, and I'll tell you what. Is you've got at least 3 games that feel like they're not guaranteed wins. They could be more likely losses than not. That is your Texas A&M game, your Alabama game, and I feel like you can do a coin flip between Florida and Texas A&M. Because those two teams are going to be tough. Texas A&M, it's not the guaranteed win it used to be anymore, and I think that's going to be something I can just keep an eye on. But I am going to go under. I'll go 8-4. I think I'd want to probably take the under, and I'd be more than okay. I'd be more than happy to see that fall down, go drop down a level below. I'd love to see LSU obviously get to 10-2, try and make a big push for 11-1, or maybe even that magical 12-0. But again, you've got the Alabamas in the world, Florida. You've got a lot more depth in the SEC. It feels like it's definitely a lot tougher of a schedule than it has been in the past. And of course, you got that Texas team, and we're talking about the Longhorns. That's going to be something just to kind of like look at. Because can Texas show us outright they are back? Because they want to make it look pretty easy against UGA a while back. That was something just as an appetizer for maybe Tom Herman getting things done again against an LSU team that has come into the season highly touted. But I can't necessarily say it right here, right now. I'll go under, but trust me, it is very, very close to a push. And that's saying something with the schedule that they have. It is probably one of the toughest in the country. That's why I'm going under.
There you have it. Not bad at all. And we're living right on a Thursday, hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, just about out of real estate, though. Got to thank our guests that came aboard, especially earlier this hour, Blaine Viator. A lot of high school football talk. And the next time that Blaine joins us, we're not going to be here next Thursday. Like you, we'll celebrate America's Independence Day. But the next time we see Blaine, and the next time this show is here, as we kind of foretold, it's going to be coverage of the big schools, of the Quick Slant 7-on-7. Make sure you keep that in the noggin. So our thanks to Blaine. I also want to thank the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love, and it's been a shortened edition, I know, of B2BS post-Astros, but we still had fun here at the Tap Room. We'll be back tomorrow, beginning at 4 from Rufino's on the River. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.